Welcome to IT1 Module 7, Part 1. This is a big one, so I don't think we're going to get through it all today. We've got about an hour or so. We're going to talk about printers and scanners. You will learn how printers operate, what to consider when you purchase a printer, and how to connect the printer to an individual computer or a network. We will also be talking about scanners. And I'm sure we've all used scanners at some point or another, but maybe not. As a quick review, printers produce paper copies of electronic files. Okay, yeah, we knew that. Scanners allow users to convert paper documents into electronic files. We knew that too. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to ask for questions at the beginning. Does anyone have any? About the labs and everything.
Nope, not this far.
Okay. I realized I forgot that. We need to remember that we do not yet live in a paperless society, so paper documents are still needed for legal reasons, for consumers, private businesses, and government departments. We use a lot of paper where I work because each person has a file and stuff.
I'm not sure what your rules are over there, but we had a 30-second sulk session when I informed the other cohabitor of my house that it is a legal requirement to store invoices, receipts, and documents for 7 years for tax purposes. And in Australia, if you don't have your receipt, they won't give you a refund or replacement. So paper, very important.
Yeah, here it might depend on what it is.
It is 7 years for taxes and such, like if you own a business.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, makes sense. So, can someone tell me any other reasons you might need to work with printed documents?
Because most of the
Why
world is
else would a
sighted.
business need to print stuff? Very good.
Yeah.
And they love their paper. Well, we do too, but.
There were actually I
studies
wouldn't care if
run.
every bill came out electronic.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that'd
actually
be good
studies
for us,
done that have
but.
actually said that it is only in the last 6 to 12 months that it is actually easier to read material off e-book readers and computer screens than it is to read it off paper. Hence the unwillingness to move away from paper. Yeah, that's why you got every business in the world saying, "Go green!"
We're charging you. T-Mobile was charging you to print a paper bill until people threw a fit and said, no, you're discriminating against people that can't get their bill electronically. Oh,
All that would never
please.
fly here. They actually do charge you over here for printed bills if you could. Well, actually, no, they don't charge you. What they do is they're sneaky about it. They go, help the environment, consider getting your bill electronically. So that's the way they get out of it over here.
Well, that's okay, but. They were actually charging, I forget what the fee was, but an extra fee to for them to send you a paper bill, and people said, no, and they got sued.
Interestingly enough, it
Anyway.
does actually cost them to post it, though, so I mean, there is
Absolutely.
an argument
Oh,
for
I
that.
don't
Yeah, it
see a
does.
problem with that.
Neither do I.
They gotta
Yeah, because I'd
produce
prefer
these
everything be
bills.
electronic anyway, and
Yeah.
nobody,
Oh,
the less
absolutely.
paper I have to deal with, the better. And if you can't
Yeah,
accept
but
your
some.
bill electronic, then how about you get it SMS to you? There's a thought, and it wouldn't cost the phone network anything to do it either.
No.
I had a big deal
It's
with
true, I
my
had to tell
electric
them.
company here. They wouldn't, they didn't offer electronic bills for my bank, and I told them, fine, then, I'm one of the few blind people that live in my community, then you need to send me some other alternative form of bill that I can read, because your printed bills don't work for me. So now every month they send me a PDF file, which is still
Cool.
not the best, but it works.
Yeah, you can get the
That's
information
cool.
out of Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. As blind technicians, we are not exempt from having to deal with printers, because our clients are going to have to deal with printers, and we need to print stuff. So it's important to know how to help clients purchase printers, as well as set them up, maintain, and repair them. And maybe we want to buy them too. I bought a black and white laser printer about 4 years ago, and my family and I absolutely love it. They print on it more than I do. Okay. Printers available today are usually either laser printers using electrophotographic technology, or inkjet printers using electrostatic spray technology. These are terms you'll see more and more of as we go through. Dot matrix printers use impact technology, and they're used in applications that require carbon copies. I think post offices use these. So here are things about that you want to think about when choosing a printer for a customer: capacity, speed, color, quality, and reliability. Okay, now we're going to touch on each of these. The capacity of a printer refers to how much paper it is able to hold in its paper tray. Interestingly, that was something I had to define, because while Cisco told us that that's something that was important, they never actually told us what it was. If your client will be doing lots of printing, they will want a printer that does not have to be reloaded often. So they want one where you shove a bunch of paper in and you forget about it for a while. The speed of a printer is measured in pages per minute, which is a PPM, is the acronym. Jet printers are usually slower, but they might be adequate for a home or small office. The speed of an inkjet printer is usually 2 to 6 pages per minute, while the speed of a laser printer is anywhere from 8 to 200 pages per minute. Wow, I'd like to see 200 pages per minute. That's insane. Color or black and white printing is important. Now, a computer monitor produces colors through the additive mixing of dots that are displayed on the screen. The eye picks up the colors directly, so the dots produce the color range using red, green, and blue RGB dots. A printer, on the other hand, produces colors using subtractive mixing. The eye sees a color that reflects from the combination of colors on the paper, so that's a little different. Printers can either be black and white only, which is also called monochrome, or color. Your customer may only need a monochrome printer if they are printing out professional letters and business documents, if they don't need a lot of pictures. If a customer usually prints out colorful flyers for advertising, they will need a color printer. Ask the customer what types of documents the printer will be used for to help make this decision. I don't really do much printing of pictures, so a black and white laser printer was perfect for me. The quality of printing is measured in dots per inch, or DPI. You're going to see this quite a few times. The more DPI, the higher the resolution. When the resolution is higher, text and images are usually clearer. To produce the best high-resolution images, you should use both high-quality ink or toner and high-quality paper. A printer should be reliable. Don't just settle for the first printer you can find. There are a lot of options out there, so do your research. Yes, there are really cheap printers, but sometimes the cartridges and paper can be more expensive than the printer itself. So here are some things to check on reliability. You want to check the warranty, identify what is covered within the warranty, scheduled servicing. Servicing is based on expected usage. Mean time between failures, MTBF. There is an average length of time that the printer works without failing that the manufacturer has calculated. The best place to find this information, or best places to find this information, are either the printer manual or the manufacturer's website. There's also the total cost of ownership. It's important to consider the total cost of ownership of a printer. This includes the purchase price of the printer, as well as cost of the supplies, such as paper and ink, the price per page that is printed, maintenance costs, and extended warranty costs. When calculating the total cost of ownership, which is abbreviated as TCO, you should also consider the amount of material printed and the expected lifetime of the printer. So you can get some really cheap inkjets like we were talking about, but the supplies are often just as much as or more than the price of the printer. And I've seen this happen. My dad had one like that. So you need to be able to connect the computer the printer to a computer in order to use it. So we're going to talk about the ways you do that. Some of the common interfaces used to connect printers to computers are parallel, USB, and wireless. Serial and parallel are becoming less common because USB seems to replace them, at least for printers and stuff. You're going to find note takers may use parallel, at least in some instances, but even the newer ones I'm seeing now are using USB for printers, as USB printers are becoming more common. Corporate printers might connect to a network using a network cable. Okay, I'm not hearing any questions. Are you guys still awake?
We're still here.
Alright, that's good.
Just yep. Checking.
Okay, we're going to talk about serial cable, serial interface. Serial data transfer is the movement of single bits of information one after the other. So the ants go marching one by one, hurrah, similar to that. You get one at a time. Serial connections are only 1 bit wide. A serial connection be used for dot matrix printers because the printers do not require high-speed data transfer. That makes sense. Parallel, on the other hand, parallel data transfer is faster than serial data transfer. Parallel data transfer is the movement of multiple bits of information in a single cycle. So usually, I think it's usually 8. The path is wider for information to move to or from the printer. Parallel is called IEEE 1284, and that's the current standard. Enhanced Parallel Port, EPP, and Enhanced Capabilities Port, abbreviated ECP, are two modes of operation within the IEEE 1284 standard that allow bidirectional communication. So the parallel connectors on your device are 25-pin female with screw connectors, as Grace was talking about. And the device connector that for your printer is a, I believe, 36-pin Centronics connector, and it's got little spring clips on the end. It's got little places for these spring clips on the parallel port to actually connect to hold it in place. If you've used parallel printers with some of the note takers, you'll recognize these.
Like the old-fashioned Braille and print cables.
Yeah, you're right.
Remember those old things?
Yeah.
Dot matrix to the max.
Well, I was actually using it with a HP inkjet, believe it or not.
Oh, really? I had an old Epson.
Yep. It went.
We get to hear that soon.
Yeah, we will get to hear that soon. So now we're going to talk about SCSI. Small Computer Systems Interface, SCSI. It's written SCSI, but we say SCSI.
It's easier than SCSI.
Yeah, it is easier to say.
I just wanted to make sure
people knew how it was spelled.
While we were mentioning printers, I actually sadly threw 3 perfectly working dot matrix printers in the bin the year before last. It was a very sad day.
Oh.
An LX800 and 2 LX400s in their boxes with all their manuals and everything into the wheelie bin.
Well, if you didn't have anything planned for them, but still, that is a bit sad.
Yeah.
Let's make that stop, shall we? Sorry. I'm having all kinds of sound interruptions tonight, I apologize. Okay, SCSI is a type of interface that uses parallel communication technology to achieve high data transfer rates. And this is all we see about SCSI in this chapter, at least for printers. I mean, there are SCSI scanners. I've never heard of a SCSI printer, but Carrie says they're out there. USB is the most common. You did say SCSI printers exist, right, Carrie? Am I thinking of something else? Okay, am I still here?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not. Okay. Sorry. Okay. USB is the most common connection method for home computers. Both it and FireWire are high-speed plug-and-play options. Printers can be shared over a network. Connecting a printer to the network requires cabling that is compatible with both the existing network and the network printer installed the port installed in the printer. Most network printers use an RJ45 interface to connect to a network. You also have wireless printing technology, which is available in infrared, Bluetooth, and wireless fidelity, or Wi-Fi technology. Infrared uses its invisible light to transmit data, and we talked a little bit about that just a moment ago in laptops. The two transceivers must have a clear line of sight view of each other and be no more than 3.7 meters or 12 feet apart. That seems a bit high, I think.
3 meters is 9 feet plus the 0.7. That'd be about right.
No, I thought the laptop chapter said there were didn't transmit quite that far. But anyway,
depends on the transmitters, to be honest. And in fact, you'll find that the transmitters on printers tend to be a bit more powerful than the ones on some laptops. So your mileage may vary.
Oh, okay.
I've managed to get infrared 10, 15 meters, but when you want it to, it won't.
Exactly. Bluetooth technology uses an unlicensed radio frequency for short-range communications. It can communicate over somewhat longer distances than infrared and does not require a line-of-sight connection. Many new printers are Wi-Fi enabled. We will talk more about Wi-Fi in Module 8, exactly what it is. These Wi-Fi printers can be somewhat difficult to work with. My dad was trying to help someone with one and was having some issues with the printer. Well, he might have issues too, but we're going to talk about laser printers. A laser printer is a high-quality, fast printer that uses a laser beam to create an image. The central part of the printer is a metal cylinder that is coated with a light-sensitive insulating material. This is known as the electrophotographic drum. When a beam of laser light strikes the drum, it becomes a conductor at the point where the light hits it. As the drum rotates, the laser beam draws an electromagnetic image on it. The undeveloped image is then taken past dry ink or toner that is attracted to it. The drum turns and brings this image in contact with the paper, which attracts the toner from the drum. The paper is passed through a fuser that is made up of hot rollers, which melts the toner into the paper. So this process is incredibly confusing the way they've just described it. So we're going to go through it step by step. There are 6 steps that are required to print a single page. It seems like it should take fewer steps because these printers are able to print so fast. Interestingly, I didn't see these. I looked at the exam and I didn't see these tested as hard as they were in the past. But I'm sure they're on the final. But here
they
are.
That's because HP stopped sponsoring them, I believe.
Probably true. But here we go. These steps are cleaning, conditioning, writing, developing, transferring, and fusing. And I still think this is pretty cool anyway. These are referred to as the laser printing process. Now we're going to break each one down. I'm talking about cleaning. When an image has been deposited on the paper and the drum has separated from the paper, any remaining toner must be removed from the drum. A printer may have a blade that scrapes all excess toner from the drum. Some printers use an AC voltage on a wire that removes the charge from the drum surface and allows the excess toner to fall away from the drum. The excess toner is stored in used toner containers. And that is either emptied or discarded, or it may be part of the cartridge. So this toner that it's talking about here is the residue left over from the previous page that printed. So we're kind of starting from the end of one page and going to the beginning of the next. So we actually start cleaning up the junk from the other one. Okay, and we have to get rid of that before we can use the newer toner later. The next step is conditioning. This step involves removing the...
I have a laser printer, and It has a wire that has like a plastic tab that you drag back and forth. Is that what you're referring to?
I have no idea. I'm not sure why you'd actually move it.
I know they talk about for cleaning, but I didn't know what that meant.
I haven't come across that. It could be a way of manually cleaning the drum when the regular cleaning stuff doesn't actually do what it's supposed to. It is feasible.
That's different. I've never heard of that, but that's different. You might need to read the manual for your printer and see what's going on there.
I did. All they said was for cleaning purposes.
Oh. Have you done a Google and see what other people think? And maybe some people go, why do I do this? Or what is this here for? That's what I'd do.
Nah, I was just trying to figure out what it was.
Well, that might be the best way to figure out what it is see what other people say.
Actually, Aardvark is a good way of getting those sorts of questions answered that aren't easily answered by the documentation. We like Aardvark.
I've never heard of that. Is it aardvark.com?
I think it is, actually. V-A-R-K. And you can sort of talk to it with instant messengers and stuff, and you can ask it questions, and it goes out to a whole list of people, and then somebody answers your question. Anyway, that's not what we're lecturing about. But
I wonder if they integrate Twitter with that. Okay. The next step of the printing process is called conditioning. So this step involves removing the old latent... I am so sorry. This step involves removing the old latent image from the drum and conditioning the drum for a new latent image to be written. Again, this image is from the page that was just printed before this one. Conditioning is done by placing a special wire, grid, or roller that receives a negative charge of approximately minus 600 volts DC uniformly across the surface of the drum. The charged wire or grid is called the primary corona. The roller is called a conditioning roller. 3 is writing. The writing process involves scanning the photosensitive drum with the laser beam. Every portion of the drum that is exposed to the light has the surface charge reduced to about minus 100 volts DC. This electrical charge has a lower negative charge than the remainder of the drum. So as the drum turns, an invisible latent image is created on the drum. Now in step 4, which is developing, the latent image, in the developing phase, the toner is applied to the latent image on the drum. The toner is a negatively charged combination of plastic and metal particles. A control plane holds the toner... Jaws, you need to stop talking now.
Now press shh, and it'll stop.
Yeah, I did. I actually did the layered insert space S. A control plane holds the toner at a microscopic distance from the drum. The toner then moves from the control blade to the more positively charged latent image on the drum. Because the toner has more negative charge than the drum, it is attracted to the drum. Both have a negative charges, but the drum is more positively charged than the toner is. Yeah, that's a little confusing, but that's okay. Transferring. In this step, the toner attached to the latent image is transferred to the paper. The transfer or secondary corona places a positive charge on the paper. Because the drum was charged negatively, and the toner on the drum is attracted to the paper, and it gets put there. The image is now on the paper and is held in place by the positive charge. Finally, step 6, fusing. In this step, the toner is permanently fused to the paper. So the printing paper is rolled between a heated roller and a pressure roller. As the paper moves through the heated roller and the pressure roller, the loose toner is melted and fused with the fibers in the paper. The paper is then moved to the output tray as a printed page. So the toner is literally melted in. So, two things. This is why the paper is hot when it comes out. And sometimes you can actually smell the toner. And the way this happens, there's a printer at work, and if I sit next to it, it's really strong, and it kind of makes me cough, and it's weird. So I can actually like smell part of this as it's happened, which is really strange.
It's actually carcinogenic.
Yeah.
So Vanessa was just saying you can get high on it. I'm like, no, it's carcinogenic. You'll be as high as the cemetery.
Cancer on it. Oh my god. Okay.
Well, that's true.
So yeah, I know, but that's just a really wrong way of saying that. Okay. The following mnemonic can help you memorize the order of the steps of the laser printing process. Continuous care will delay trouble forever. Cleaning, conditioning, writing, developing, transferring, fusing. Yes, it's lame, but it helped me plenty of times on the test. So I tend to remember constant cleaning, which is easier. It rolls off the tongue better anyway for me.
I wonder what happened to Aiden and Edward.
Yeah, they just kind of went. So you may need to be able to put these steps in order. You might not actually have to, like, explain them word for word for word, but you need to at least know a general idea of what they do and how they work. I was saying, Grace, I didn't actually see too much about this on the exam.
Yeah.
Warning, the primary corona wire, or grid, or the conditioning roller can be very dangerous. The voltages run as high as -6,000 volts. So primary coronas are dangerous. Only certified technicians should work on the unit.
Am I the only one that wants to
laser printer,
stop myself from going my corona? Because every time you say corona, I think of that.
Yeah, I think you are, actually.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Okay. I like it, though. Before working inside a laser printer, you should make sure that voltage is properly discharged. Okie dokie. Now that we've explained how the laser printer works, I actually do need to get my Jaws speech back, because it's time for the first sound as soon as I press the right button.
Well, is there some kind of new hotkey that makes the speech out now?
Do what?
I just insert S.
For Jaws, yeah. Insert space followed by S.
Why it'll insert make that space?
Sound.
Yeah, insert S changes
like
the
screen echo. All right.
I thought it was actually
here.
Insert S changed the highlighter or the whatever.
Yeah,
actually,
that's
only in Jaws 12. So me.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Here's laser printers. Oh no, my. And that's a slow one, guys.
So what is that silly noise that makes?
That was good.
Do what?
It goes when you press insert space. It's bizarre.
Yes. It is. And it's fun to hit it over and over again. Did everyone hear that sound?
12. Oh, yeah. It was
very
nice.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, somebody said that they weren't able to hear the BIOS beep sound I played the last time I played a sound through, so I wanted to make sure. Okay, now we're going to talk about the impact printers. Oh, these are fun. Impact printers are very basic printers. Impact printers have print heads that strike the inked ribbon, causing causing characters to be printed onto the paper. So literally punched onto the paper, kind of. Dot matrix and daisy wheel are examples of impact printers. And actually, braille embossers are examples of very, very high impact printers. Impact printers are good because they use inexpensive consumables, use continuous feed paper, and create carbon copies. Unfortunately, they are also slow, loud, have limited colors, and low resolution graphics. Here are the different types of impact printers, and we'll talk about them. In the daisy wheel printer, there is the wheel contains the letters, numbers, and special characters. The wheel is rotated until the required character is in place, and an electromechanical hammer pushes the character into the ink ribbon. The character then strikes the paper, imprinting the character on the paper. So you have the character gets imprinted that way. This is kind of similar to a... it makes me think of a Braille labeler, I guess. Okay. See, this is why people shouldn't leave. Now we're going to have a daisy wheel printer. This is a pretty fast one that I found on YouTube. Some of these come from YouTube. Here we go. That's a cool sound. Actually, some of the noise of the printer actually getting ready, I don't think came through. But that's okay.
Awesome.
I had never actually heard one of these before I got the brilliant idea to go look them up on YouTube. The dot matrix printer is similar to the daisy wheel printer, except that instead of a wheel containing the characters, a print head contains pins that are surrounded by electromagnets. When energized, the pins push forward onto the ink ribbon, creating the character on the paper. The number of pins on a print head, either 9 or 24, indicates the quality of the print. The highest quality of print that is produced by a dot matrix printer is referred to as near letter quality, or NLQ. Most dot matrix printers use continuous feed paper, all of the ones I've seen. Similar to Braille embosser paper, where you've got the tabs on the side and you have to rip it apart.
Tractor-fed.
Yeah, tractor-fed paper is more regularly called. The paper has perforations between each sheet and perforated strips on the sides that are used to prevent the paper, to feed the paper and prevent the skewing or shifting of the paper. Sheet feeders that print one page at a time are available in some of the higher quality office printers. A large roller called the platen applies pressure to keep the paper from slipping. If multiple copy paper is used, the platen gap can be adjusted to the thickness of the paper. These are similar to some of these impact printers. Like I said, this is similar to a Braille embosser, except the Braille embosser is using solenoids to do its job. We have two dot matrix printer recordings. Unfortunately, my sounds kind of all go one after the other. So let me get the right buttons. Yeah, you have to set the input device to virtual cable 1. The output's not going to do it. The first printer is an image writer. I think the first image writer. Here we go.
Oh boy.
Here we go. Remember that sound, guys?
Am I sad that I can tell you that it is actually printing justified text in near-letter quality? Okay, I'll shut up now.
Wow!
Yeah, that is kind of sad, actually. Okay. The next one is an Epson printer, and Carrie has already told me that it's printing some kind of a graphic. This is nice and fast, and you could probably put a beat to this, actually. That's pretty cool, too.
Actually, it's not graphics. I revised that. I was listening to it this morning. It's actually a table of some description, because you can hear the gaps as it separates the columns with a vzz, as it actually...
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Moves the carriage, yeah.
I still think that should be isolated out and put as a beat to something.
I remember when
you have Reaper, you can do that.
ABC, and it would make a list down, and it would just be going, ticka, 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 because it was just one little dot on each line.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
I'll ask you later in that. I just want to know how you got those into sound bits from YouTube. That's pretty cool.
There's a number Clango. Of sites. There's either Clango or Vixie.net will convert them to MP3. Virtual Audio Cable can do it if you change the default device. Total Recorder. There's about 10 different ways.
Okay. Just was curious on that.
Or you can demux the FLV stream and rip the audio out directly. But if it breaks, you keep both
pieces. Okay, did this work?
We haven't heard anything yet.
I almost got the mixer set wrong. Okay. Too many boxes in that setup thing. Inkjet printers are good in several respects. These are very versatile printers. The images they produce are high quality, and they are relatively less expensive than the laser printers. Laser printers are coming down, though. The text also says they are quick to warm up, and lists this as an advantage. I suppose they are quick to warm up, but the lasers are getting quicker, too. But if they ask you on the test, they are quicker to get started. Actually, I've seen some of the HPs take forever to get going. They go dee, 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 and do all this weird, and then all of a sudden they go, which is annoying.
It's a cleaning routine that's built into the thing to apparently protect against things like clogging up ink tanks and stuff. The theory is that if you sort of shake everything up a bit and stuff, you'll actually get the ink flowing. Otherwise, your first few lines can be frotched.
Okay, so that's what it's doing. Some drawbacks to these are that the resulting page is wet, ink cartridges are expensive, and the nozzles clog, as Carrie's just talked about. More on this later. The print quality of inkjet's printers is measured in dots per inch, or DPI. I told you you'd hear that again. The higher the DPI resolution number, the better the image will look. So it's kind of like in audio, the higher your sample rate, the more glorious it's going to sound. Also, your images are going to be bigger, just like your sound gets bigger, the images that get sent to the printer. Inkjet printers use ink-filled cartridges that spray ink onto a page through tiny holes. The tiny holes are called nozzles, and the ink is sprayed in a pattern on the page. There are two types of inkjet nozzles. They are thermal. A pulse of electrical current is applied to heated chambers around the nozzles. The heat creates a bubble of steam in the chamber. The steam forces ink out through the nozzles and onto the paper. Think the bubble jet. I'm assuming that's where they got that name from. The other ones we have... Hang on just a second, I need to see something. Piezoelectric cells. I'm probably not saying that right. Oh, here it is. Piezoelectric crystals are located in the ink reservoirs at the back of each nozzle. A charge is applied to the crystal, causing it to vibrate. This vibration of the crystal controls the flow of ink onto the paper. Inkjet printers use plain paper to make economical prints, while special purpose paper can be used to create higher quality photographs or even like t-shirt transfers. We had some where it was this glossy paper, you could print on it and then you could iron it onto a shirt and it apparently looked okay. When the inkjet print is complete and the paper leaves the printer, the ink is often wet. You should avoid touching printer pages printed for 10 to 15 seconds to prevent the images from smearing. And actually, theoretically, it could be a little longer if you wanted. So this is especially important for us as blind folks because we can't see if the image is actually smeared. So you want to be careful with these. Also, because ink can dry up if it hasn't been used for a long time, it might be worth considering a laser printer if you don't print much. And these won't have this problem. The second diagram, actually it's probably not, it may not be the second one again, it explains the internal components of an inkjet, so if you find that diagram, that's actually pretty darn cool.
So the laser printers the ink doesn't dry out in them?
No, because it's toner, which is kind of a metal, like metallic particles, kind of like a powder type. And it doesn't generally dry up. It can go, it does have a shelf life. It can go bad, but it's a lot longer shelf life.
It's not a liquid either. It's a powder. So when the powder is melted and fused and then fused into the paper, it's not going anywhere. So you'll tend to find that it's not some of the inkjets, when the pages come out of some of the photographic printers, they're actually damp to the touch, and of course, and you really have to leave them sit. It also means that if you're printing lots of pages of photos and stuff, you need to get those pieces of paper out of the printer straight away, because you don't want them sitting on top of each other in the output tray either. That could also be bad.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that too, because that's what I was thinking about, all these pages piling up on top.
All right, here is going to be a Dell inkjet printer, and I think it's printing out black and white text, if I remember what they printed correctly. Here we go. I actually had someone do this for me. That's actually quite fast for just a page of text. I think it might have been a list or something, but that's pretty fast. That did come through, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You still here, Chris?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, I thought you might have been sorry,
we have one. We will have one more sound towards the end. So the sound goodness is not all done yet. We're going to talk about solid ink printers. Quickly, that or these are ones that we won't have heard as much about. Solid ink printers use solid sticks of ink rather than toner or ink cartridges. Solid ink printers produce high quality images. The ink sticks are non-toxic and can be handled safely. Solid ink printers melt ink sticks and spray the ink through nozzles. The ink is sprayed onto a drum. The drum transfers the ink to paper. The pros to solid ink printers are that they are easy to use, the prints are vibrant, and they use many paper types. The downsides to solid ink printers are that the printers themselves are expensive, the ink is also expensive, and they are slow to warm up. That makes sense, because you're actually having to melt solid ink. Wikipedia has interesting information on these, and you can find some interesting YouTube videos. There's also a diagram in 7.1.6, I believe, that explains the internal components of the solid ink printers, and that's also quite interesting. Finally, we are going to talk about other printing technologies that you might work with. And these are thermal and dye sublimation. Thermal printers are often used in cash registers. They're the ones that don't they don't sound like a dot matrix printer, but you still get your receipt out of them, are usually thermal printers. Some old fax machines also use this technology as well, so you've got a roll of thermal fax paper. Thermal paper comes in rolls and has a waxy coating. The paper becomes black when heated. Print heads in thermal printers are usually the width of the paper being printed on. Areas of the print head are heated as required to make the pattern on the paper. An advantage of these is there are no moving parts, so they last a long time. Disadvantages are that paper is expensive, it has a short shelf life, so you have to use it quickly, and it must be stored at room temperature, and images are of poor quality. Receipts kept in a wallet for too long will fade because of these temperature and other storage issues. This is why when you have an important receipt that you want to keep for a long time, you should scan both sides of it as soon as possible and keep the scans for your records. A really good idea there. Dye sublimation printers produce photo quality images for graphic printing. This type of printer uses solid sheets of ink that change directly from solid to gas in a process called sublimating. The print head passes over a sheet of cyan, magenta, yellow, and a clear overcoat, and this is an abbreviation, CMYO, and there is a pass for each color. Pros of these printers are that they produce very high quality images, and the overcoat layer helps prevent smearing. The cons to these are that the media can be expensive, and that these printers are better for color than grayscale or black and white. In photography, both dye sublimation and small color inkjet printers provide quality prints. Okay, we're going to talk about buying, installing, and configuring printers now. When you buy a printer, information about how to install and configure it is provided by the manufacturer, an installation CD that includes drivers, manuals, and diagnostic software is included with the printer. This same material can be found on the manufacturer's website. Often the manufacturer's site will be more up-to-date than what is on the CD, so it is in your best resource for the latest drivers and extra printing software. Sometimes they'll give you also printed quick start directions on like a poster, and if you have a sighted person that can go through that with you, it's probably a good idea. And the manufacturer's website is the best place to get like everything, drivers, manuals, updates. So you're going to see that on tests. So manufacturer's website, the best place to get stuff. Okay, so here's how you set up a printer. Generally, although all types of printers are somewhat different to connect and configure, there are procedures that should be applied to all printers. The very first thing you should do is read the instructions for setting up your printer from its manual. Next, unpack the printer. Take an inventory of what is in the box. Make sure that all of the proper cables are included. Find the ink and toner if it is present, and set the driver CD in a place where you will find it again. Remember, printers generally do not come with paper, and not all printers come with USB cables or ink and toner or firewire cables. So sometimes you have to actually go out and buy a cable at sometimes ridiculous expense for the printer, which you've also just shelled out money for. So
I had that happen.
You're going to want to pay attention to what comes in the box. A lot of times the site you get your printer will show you, will tell you. Amazon told me what was going to be in the box with mine. Be sure to feel for and remove any sheets of plastic, labels, or tape that have been placed inside the printer. These can be found in the ink and toner cartridge holders, paper trays, and some other really odd places, but make sure you get all of that out. It's important to remove all of this extra packing material, or you could damage your printer when you first try to use it. Next, move the printer to its desired location. Make sure that this location gives the printer plenty of ventilation and has easy access to an outlet. Printers can be heavy, so remember to use proper safe lifting procedures. You know, lift from the weight and using your knees, and don't lift with your back. Use the bendy of your knees to help you. Install the toner or ink cartridges in the printer, making sure to remove any plastic tabs that seal them. That's important. Printers have gone broken because people don't pull the little piece of tape off. Insert the paper, labels, or envelopes into the paper tray and attach the paper tray to the printer if it is not already attached. Okay, here's how we power and connect the device. Now that we've got the printer set up in the location we need, we have to plug it into the computer, print server, or network that we're using and plug the power cord into a power outlet. Printer can be connected and used as a local or network printer. A local printer is connected directly to a computer port, such as a USB, parallel, or serial port. The local computer manages and sends the print jobs to the printer. Local printers can be shared over the network with other users. A network printer is connected to a network using a wireless or an Ethernet connection. The network printer allows multiple users to send documents to the printer over the network. So you're not necessarily using printer sharing in your operating system to do it. You could use a print server for a network printer. After determining if the printer will be a local or a network printer, connect the appropriate data cables to the communication port on the back of the printer. If it is a local printer, connect the other end to the computer. If it is a network printer, you will need to connect it to a networking device such as a router. Once this is done, attach the power cord to the printer if necessary and plug it into a power point or an outlet. Warning: never plug a printer into a UPS. The power surge that occurs when the printer is turned on damages the UPS unit. This is especially true for laser printers. But save that space on your UPS for something else that should go, that you would want to go in there anyway. Because, you know, you've only got so many spaces on there. After you have connected the power and data cables to the printer, if it is plug and play, the operating system should discover the printer and attempt to install a driver. If you have a driver disk from the manufacturer, use this driver. You can also use the driver from the website. The driver that is included with the printer is usually more current than the driver used by the operating system. The Add Printer Wizard can also be used to install the new printer. Now, you got to be careful, because sometimes a manufacturer will say, cancel this process, don't let it go through. Sometimes they'll say, don't plug the printer in until we tell you to as part of the setup process. So you got to follow the directions that you have to the letter here. Printer drivers are software programs that enable the computer and the printer to communicate with each other. Drivers also provide an interface for the user to configure printer options. Every printer model has a unique driver. Printer manufacturers frequently update drivers to increase the performance of the printer, to add options, or to fix problems. You can download new printer drivers from the manufacturer's website, as we've discussed earlier. Here are some steps for dealing with drivers. Step 1. Find out if a newer driver is available. Go to the printer manufacturer's website. Most manufacturers' websites have a link from the main page to a page that offers drivers and support. Make sure the driver is compatible with the computer that you are updating. This refers to the operating systems and the architecture. So, make sure if you have a 64-bit system, you get drivers that are designed for 64-bit processors. Do not install 64-bit drivers on a 32-bit system. Basically, if you got 64-bit, you have to have 64-bit drivers. If you've got 32-bit, you have to have 32-bit drivers. Make sure you know which you've got, which version of your operating system you have. Step 2, download the driver. Download the printer driver files to your computer. Most driver files come in a compressed or zipped format. Download the file to a folder and uncompress or unzip the contents. Save instructions or documentation to a separate folder on your computer so you can find them later. Step 3. Install the downloaded driver. Install the downloaded driver automatically or manually. Most printer drivers have a setup file that automatically searches the system for older drivers and replaces them with the newer ones. If no setup file is available, follow the directions that are supplied by the manufacturer. Step 4. Test the new printer driver. Run multiple tests to make sure the printer works properly. Use a variety of applications to print different types of documents. Change and test each printer option. Okay, firmware is a set of instructions stored on the printer. The firmware controls how the printer operates. The procedures to upgrade firmware is very similar to the procedure for installing printer drivers. We don't get really any more information about firmware than this, so it's something if it's something you need to do, you're going to need to consult the manual or the manufacturer's website. It can be upgraded, as with the printer driver, And you gotta, if you need to do that, then you need to follow directions just with any firmware updates. To, you know, and do that to the letter, because failed firmware updates are never fun. Let's see if we can get through adding printer memory really quickly. Adding memory to a printer can improve printing speed and allow the printer to handle more complex print jobs. All printers have at least some amount of memory inside. Generally, the more memory a printer has, the more efficiently it operates. Consult the printer documentation for memory requirements. Memory specifications. We'll go ahead and go back to printer memory next time we come, so, because we're gonna run right up against the time, and I want to make sure that we have a good stopping place. So I'm gonna put an asterisk right here. Any questions before we adjourn for the evening or whatever, or morning, depending on where you are?
Now, there are no labs for Chapter 7, are there?
Well, there are no labs that need to be turned in. If you want to read about how to install an all-in-one, go ahead, and you can get an idea of how you do it. At least read over it. If you've already done it before, then you might not care to read over it because you've already done it. But it's a good lab to read, but no, there's nothing to actually turn in. You get a break.